Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Yuma, daf Samech Tes. Deeply appreciate the sponsorship of the Daf Yomi by the Lupin Foundation. The learning we do is Zecher Nishmas Lois Lupin Zaltzman. We're starting the seventh parak of Yuma today, and we are that means we're going to be starting on Samech Tes Amud Beis, and we are. This is really the last parak. It's not the last parak of the Masechta. There's the eighth parak to go. The eighth parak is takes us away from the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. It talks about the Inuyim of Yom Kippur. So the eighth parak really is its own separate unit. In terms of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, we're coming to an end. Now that makes sense because if you've been following along since the beginning of the Masechta, so we're pretty much winding things down. We've gone into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Kohen Gadol has made the cloud of smoke, Kohen Gadol has done the Hazaz, both of the Par and of the Seer in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and against the Heichal and against the Mizbeach Hazav. And now the Kohen Gadol has exited the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Kohen Gadol has already done Vidui on the Seir, HaMishtaleach, and the last Mishtanis of the sixth parak of the Masechta. So we sent the Seir Mishtaleach off the edge of the cliff. That's pretty much where we've been at this point in time. The Kohen Gadol can't go any further, can't proceed any further, until he knows that the goat is sent out to the desert. Exactly how is he going to know? So that was the last mission that we covered at the end of the sixth parak. So there are three different opinions in the Mishnayos in terms of what exactly is going to be the means of communication to allow the the Kohen Gadol to know that okay, we're ready, we can move on now. Okay, so what's the next step? Where do we go from here? So that's what we're going to be seeing over the course of the seventh parak of Yuma. We're going to be talking about basically now the rest of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. So again, we know from a macro scale, from a broader scale, we know that the Kohen Gadol is going to be changing clothing five times over the course of Yom Kippur. He's going to go from gold to white to gold to white back to gold. So the first time he puts on his Levanim is the Big Day Levan. So he is he's doing most of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, meaning that during that Big Day Levan, he'll be doing the shechting of the Par and the Seer and the Hazah and the sprinkling of the Par and Seer, and that's all while wearing the Big Day Levan. Then he goes back to gold, and this is the second time he's wearing gold for the day. And for that, he's going to bring a Lova El Ha'am, his isle, which is an Ola, and the isle of the nation. Then he goes back to white, because there he's going to pick up the Kafa Machta, he's going to pick up the spoon and the shovel they left in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then he's going to go back to gold, and the last time he's going to go back to gold, he's basically going to bring all the other karbanos that are brought on Yom Kippur, all the Musafim, and also he's going to burn the Imurim of the Seir and the Par. Okay, that's just a general overview in terms of how the day is constructed. Where are we at right now? So we are pretty much end of Big Day Lavan first time. In other words, there are two times when he's putting on the Big Day Lavan. So we're at the end of the Big Day Lavan. In fact, we're so at the end of the Big Day Lavan, the Mishnah is going to describe some Kohen Gadol even just took it off at this point in time. What does that mean? So let's see the Mishnah inside. Balo Kohen Gadol across. So the Kohen Gadol now is going to do Kriya Satorah. Okay, there in Yom Kippur, there's a mitzvah of Kriya Satorah. The Kriya Satorah is going to be done in the Beis HaMikdash. Where exactly in the Beis HaMikdash, we will see momentarily. But the Mishnah describes that he does Kriya. So Imra Silikros be Big Day Butz Kari. Now he's wearing his Big Day Butz. He's wearing his linen clothing. So that means at this point in time, it's a Levanim, it's a white clothing. So it's what he's been wearing basically since the morning. Again, he wore the Big Day Zav early in the morning. That was to offer the Tamisho Shachar. But after that point in time, now he changed into his Big Day Butz, into his linen clothing. And there he's been doing, essentially, the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. So the Mishnah says, at this point going forward, so he can continue to wear them, if he wants to. Now, but if he wants to, if he doesn't want to wear his Big Day Butz, he's just doing Kriya Satorah. Kriya Satorah is not an avoda. It's essential, it's important, but it's not an avoda. So if he wants to change out of his Big Day Butz, then he wants to wear what the Mishnah describes as Itztalis Lavan. Itztalis Lavan just simply means nice clothing. It's nice white clothing. It's not Big Day Kahuna. In fact, the Mishnah says it's Mishalo, it belongs to him. It's not public property. It does not have Kedusha. So then he may do so. Now you'll notice, by the way, and the Gemara is going to pick up on this, and we're going to discuss this in the Gemara. So in other words, he's going to be wearing his Big Day Kahuna to do something which is not an avoda activity. So the Gemara is going to ask a larger question, which is, in general, when a Kohen is wearing his Big Day Kahuna, it's true for the Kohen Gadol, it's true for any Kohen, and let's say he's not actively involved in avoda, is that okay? Right. Could we be having a discussion of Me'ila if he's wearing his Big Day Kahuna, but in other words, it's like, you know, you're in uniform, but you're not in service right now. So is that okay? Would that possibly be a violation of Me'ila? So stay tuned. The Gemara is going to pick up on that. Chazan HaKnesses, Notel Sefer Torah, V'Nosel Rosh HaKnesses. So now there is a procession. The Sefer Torah is going to be taken out of the Aron. Now, I don't know what that means. In other words, I don't know if, how their shul looked like. We'll talk in the Gemara in terms of where the shul was. But somewhere Sefer Torah was kept. It was taken out by the Chazan HaKnesses. Chazan, you know, every time we see the word Chazan in the Gemara, it means basically the Shamash, the Gabbai. So the Chazan HaKnesses knows all Sefer Torah, so he takes the Sefer Torah out and knows all Rosh HaKnesses. And he gives it to the Rosh HaKnesses. Okay, another position. Rashi says the Rosh HaKnesses, so what did he determine? So you take a look at Rashi. Rashi writes, Al Piv Nichtach and Starche HaKnesses. Mi Maftir, Mi Poris, Al Shma, Mi Over Lefnei Ateva. Oh, it's what we would call a Gabbai. Right, basically the Gabbai. Right, which means, by the way, then you go back to the Chazan HaKnesses. Chazan HaKnesses, like, you know, one position lower than that. Like, in other words, the guy who's taking care of the shul. Rosh HaKnesses knows on the Skan, and then the Sefer Torah gets passed along from the Rosh HaKnesses to the Skan, the deputy Kohen Gadol. That's the one who presumably would have taken over if anything would have gone wrong to the Kohen Gadol. Vaskan knows on the Kohen Gadol, and finally given to the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol Omin Makabel. He stands and he takes it. Sounds like he's been sitting up until this point in time. Gemara is going to pick up on that diuk as well. The Kore, and what would he read? Acharei Mos. So he would open up and he would read from Acharei Mos, which makes perfect sense because that's where all the Avodas Yom HaKippurim is contained in the Torah. Now, Acharei Mos is found in the beginning of Parshas Acharei Mos, but that doesn't mean anything. It just simply means that we divided the Parshios. It's found in the middle of Sefer Vayikra. So if you can imagine a Sefer Torah open up, just have that picture of the Sefer Torah. So where are we in terms of which side is larger, meaning the right wound side or the left wound side? So essentially, we're going to be somewhere in the middle. We're right in the middle of Sefer Vayikra, Perek Zayin and Vayikra. So basically, we're right in the middle of the Sefer Torah. So, it's right, pretty much center. The Ach Ba'asor, and then you also read Ach Ba'asor, right, Parshas Amor. The goal of Sefer Torah, Menicha Becheko. And then what does he do? He rolls the Sefer Torah up. But he didn't finish reading. So this is a neat trick. Meaning that there's more to read, but we're gonna roll the Sefer Torah up. Well, how's that going to work? The Omer, so he's going to make the following declaration, because what he's going to do now is he's going to read more from the Sefer Torah, even though the Sefer Torah is not opened. Otherwise stated, he's going to be reading the Sefer Torah by heart. Now that's a little bit odd, meaning why doesn't he just simply roll to the next place he needs to go to? Stay tuned, we're going to address that. The Omer, Yosemar Mashikras Lefnechem Kasav Khan. You know, there's more. Meaning, I'm going to say more things, but everyone here should know it's from the Torah. I'm just not reading it from the Torah. Because what he's got to do now is he's also got to read from Parshas Pinchas, what we would call Maftir. Meaning, because in Parshas Pinchas is contained all the Musafim that are in the Parsha, so that are brought on Yom Kippur. So he's got to read from Parshas Pinchas. Now, if you can imagine, the Sefer Torah is open up, to roll from Acharei Mos to Parshas Pinchas, it's really not the end of the world, meaning it's, it depends how good your rollers are, but it's really only going to take a lag. It won't be that long a break to do so, but obviously they didn't want to take that break. In other words, to go from Acharei Mos to Parsha Samor, so that's Perek Tev Zayin to Perek of Gimel in Vayikra, fine. That's a couple of rolls. But then to go all the way to Bamidbar, to the Musaf, that's already a lot of rolling, and they didn't want to do that, so rather, they closed the Sefer Torah, and he said it by heart. Okay. One issue which I don't know, it's not really addressed, is why not simply have a second Sefer Torah? May speak poorly about the first Sefer Torah. That's number one. And number two is that the Gemara in Gittin, I saw Rabbi Kornfeld had a long discussion about this. It was a good discussion. The Gemara in Gittin says that Dvarim Shebichsav Yeshar LaOmram Baal Peh. Right, we have a general rule in terms of the division of Torah Shebichsav versus Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebichsav is Chumash, Navi, Ksuvim. Torah Shebaal Peh is Gemara, right? It's a simple way to look at it. My chavrusa gave a more complicated way to look at it. But anyway, whatever. We know the difference between Torah Shebaal Peh and Torah Shebaal Peh. The Gemara in Gittin says, Torah Shebaal Peh, Yefshar Lekasvan. You can't write Torah Shebaal Peh. I know, what are we doing right now? Every one of us looking at a Gemara. Okay, we should be doing this by heart. And the Gemara in Gittin says, and also the converse is true as well. Dvarim shebichsav yefshar lomram baal peh. Those things which are written down, so you're not allowed to say by heart. So it engenders a discussion, right? It's a good discussion. So then, what's the Kohen Gadol doing? Meaning, he's reading the parshios of Acharei Mos and Amor from the klaf, which he should be doing, and then he's closing and he's reading. He's reading the Musaf in Parshas Pinchas. He's reading it by heart. How can he do that? Okay, so I encourage you to take a look. Rabbi Kornfeld, he has a lengthy discussion in terms of how to address that situation. And he makes eight brachos. Al HaTorah. And now these are the eight brachos that he's going to be saying. Now, when I say brachos, by the way, the Mishnah is really also is really referring to tefillah. I mean, davening. Meaning, you'll notice, right, Kohen Gadol's been busy since before daybreak. Right? He's been up all night, and he hasn't davened yet. So really, in actuality, when we're talking about brachos, we're really talking more than just brachos, we're really talking about tefillah. Now, it's an abridged version of tefillah, but basically, you'll recognize that a lot of these brachos as being part of Shemoneh Esrei, because quite frankly, he hasn't davened yet. So Shemoneh Brachos Ala Torah. So the bracha he makes is Ala Torah, and Rashi points out that that would be the bracha that we say after an Aliyah. Al Avoda, Al Hoda'a, right? Avoda is like we'd say. Although if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi writes regarding the Avoda that it's how does he end off? You see the Rashi. Avoda Ritzei Mamcha Yisrael V'Teretzei Avoda Bidver Bisecha. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu if he please accepts the Avoda that was just done. She'oscha Levadcha B'Yira Na'avod. Right? That's how we end Ritzei when we're going to do the Mitzvah Birchas Kohanim, which then fits in well to the next part. V'Al Hoda, and then there's Hoda, which is Modim V'Al Mechilas Avon. We ask for forgiveness of sin. Al HaMikdash B'Fnei Atzma V'Al Yisrael B'Fnei Atzma V'Al Yushalayim B'Fnei Atzma Ala Kohanim Bifnei Atzmo V'El Shara Tefillah. Okay, so a series of brachas are made, and the Mishnah counts it as eight brachas. So if you count it up, you'll see that there are more than eight, and the Gemara is going to be bothered by the question. We'll come to that. And also the last bracha that's mentioned, very ambiguous in the Mishnah, Al Shara Tefillah. Okay. We'll see what that means. Haro Kohen Gadol Kishu Kare Eino Roa Par V'Siyar Nisrafim V'Haro Par V'Asir V'Nisrafim Eino Roa Kohen Gadol Kishu Kare. There are two activities that are going on simultaneously. And if you want to be an observer to one of these activities, it precludes you from seeing the other activity. And the Mishnah point for what are these two activities? So either you go and you watch Kriyas HaTorah, that's one possibility, or if you want to observe, you can watch a bonfire. And what's going to be burnt? Par and Seir. The parents here on Yom Kippur, as we discussed yesterday, is a chatas apnimios. That's a chatas. That's where the blood is sprinkled in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Heichal. So therefore, those carbon chatas are not eaten by the Kohanim, but rather they're burnt. So where they burnt, that's yesterday's daf. They're burnt in the Beit in the Shefach Hadesh, in the same place where the ash is deposited. So that's taking place outside of Yerushalayim. So, simply because these two events occur simultaneously, so the viewing of one precludes you from the viewing of the other. So, v'lamim neshein rashai, right, the Mishnah makes this point very clearly. It's not that you weren't allowed to see these two, you were, but, ela she, haisa derech rechoka, umelech hashneim shavos kachas. It's just simply what one took place in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kriyas HaTorah, the other, the burning, took place outside the Beis HaMikdash, that's the outside Yerushalayim, as we learned in yesterday's daf, that's like Chutz Gemal Machanos. So therefore, you just simply could not see them simultaneously. Okay. First discussion in the Gemara that we're going to be having today is the clothing worn by the Kohen. So, Kriya is not an avoda. How do I know that? Because the option is that he could wear non-big day kahuna. Okay, so obviously, if you're doing something and you're wearing non-big day kahuna, it means obviously it's not an avoda. V'tanim ratzal likros be-big day butz karish mami not big day kahuna ninu lehanos. On the other hand, the Mishnah also gave us an option where the Kohen Gadol, if he wants to, can continue wearing his big day butz, which means his big day lavan, which is big day kahuna. And now, while doing a non-avoda, so he's wearing standard issue big day kahuna? Isn't there a problem with me'ila? So the Gemara adduces, nah, no problem. It seems like there's no problem. So Dilma, so this is where we're at right now. And the Gemara right now is laying down an argument that it's okay to wear your big day kahuna even if you're not doing the actual avoda. And that would therefore mean that you can go home with it and you can, you know, in other words, then you could do basically regular activity while wearing the big day kahuna. Now, what the svar would be for that? So the Gemara often says, "Lo nimna tola malach esharis," meaning we know that we're not angelic, we're not perfect, and to allow the Kohen to wear begadim and to say to the Kohen, You can only wear them only when you're doing the avoda, and at no other point in time. It's impossible. I mean, in other words, we're human beings. There are going to be points in time where we're, while wearing the begadim, we're going to be just meandering or walking around or whatever. It's nearly impossible. So one svara could be lo nidna Torah lemelachei sharis, meaning we're simply imperfect human beings. And so if the Torah is allowing us to wear the begadim, implicit in that allowance is we can do other activities as well. That's a possibility. But the Gemara deflects. The Gemara says, I don't know if the Mishnah is such great proof. Why? Because look, the Kriya Satorah itself is not, let's not call that an avoda, but it's Tzarech Avoda, right? In other words, it's part of Yom Kippur. It's part of the process of Yom Kippur. So maybe there's like a middle ground. Meaning to do avoda while wearing the big dikuna, obviously is not only fine, but that's a mitzvah. To wear the big dikuna while you're doing your own activities that you can't do. But now we're somewhere in this middle category of Tzarech Avoda, where it's Kriya Satorah, it's part of Yom Kippur, it's not Avoda, but it's part of the day.
According here to the Advan, it says that it's a mitzvah of a Kohen Gadol to stay in the Samidah the whole day.
Right.
Yeah. Like it's in an Amikdash, so that's why
right.
We wear them.
You know, it's funny because we're going to learn in just a couple of minutes that the Shul was in the Ezros Nashim. So. I too also worked with the assumption that he cannot leave the Beis Hamikdash, and meanwhile right he's not, I understand he's still going to be in the Har Bayis area, but the Ezros Nashim is not the Ezara. Okay, the Bailam Big Tikkun and Lahanus Behem Alon Nidun Lahanus Behem. So now the Gemara addresses this question straight on, meaning we were kind of dancing around the question from the Mishnah, but now the Gemara approaches the question straight on. The Big Tikkunah, when a Kohen's wearing it. Can he wear it while not involved in the avoda? Yes or no? Tashma, the Gemara says, come in here. Lo hayu shenim be big day kodesh. Mishnah in Tamid. The Mishnah in Tamid describes how the Kohen would be sleeping around the areas of the Beis Hamikdash. Remember, we talked about in the Masechta Shmira that there would be guarding all night, primarily by the Levim, a little bit by the Kohanim, and Kohanim would be sleeping, you know, on occasion. Not while doing Shmira, that wasn't allowed. The punishment for sleeping on the job, remember? Yeah, they burned their clothing. So anyway, so the... That would scare me. So the lo yishanim big day kodesh. So they wouldn't sleep with their big day kodesh. So the Gemara makes a deal. Shena hu delo hamechle achle. So the Gemara says, good. So you're not allowed to sleep with your big day kuna. And as Rashi points out, I understand. Because when you sleep, you lose bodily control. You may pass gas. That's an affront to the big day kahuna. I get that. But now what are we talking about? Anything outside of that would be fine. So, may eating while wearing your big dikuna, that would be fine. So the Gemara says, "Demashani achila tzarech avodahi." So the Gemara says, "Oh, wait, so not so fast." Meaning eating. Well, the Gemara is assuming when we're talking about eating, we're not talking about having dinner or having your lunch. The Gemara is assuming that we're talking about eating carbon chatos and carbon asha. So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but that's tzarech avodahi." Meaning that's avoda. In fact, it could tell you, "Vachlu asam asher kupar b'hem, malam asher kohanim ochlim abalim eskaprim." So, in fact, it provides a kapara. Remember, I referenced this just yesterday. Right? Moshe got so angry at Aaron because Aaron didn't eat the karban chatas on the first day of Hakamas HaMishkan. And Moshe says to Aaron, "You got to be kidding me! I mean, you got to eat. Eating the karban is part of the kapara." So, in terms of the diuk that we just made in the Mishnah and Talmud, it's not true. Meaning you can't sleep, but oh, yeah, I guess you can eat. No, eating is part of the kapara. So, shena hu delo, so the Gemara says, okay, so you didn't like that diuk, let's try a different diuk. Shena hu delo haluchim ahache. So the Gemara says, okay, well, maybe the Mishnah Talmud says you can't sleep, well, which means you can't sleep, but activities outside of that, like tiyul, you want to take a little meander, shpatsir, that's fine. So the Gemara says, "Bedinu deluchin namilo." So the Gemara does not like that diuk either. We're now on the top of Samach Tes Amar Aleph. V'seif itzirichlei. So the Gemara says, "I'll tell you why the Mishnah Tam is talking about sleeping. It's not because we want to preclude any other activity, and it's not because we're saying sleeping is not okay, but anything else, a little spatzir is fine. No, that's not what the Mishnah's point is. The Mishnah was trying to get to another point. That's why the Mishnah is talking about sleeping. Because the Mishnah wanted to get to the point where they took their big day kahuna, they folded it up, and the simple reading in the Mishnah is, and they slept on it. They used the big day kahuna as a pillow. Okay, that's why the Mishnah was talking about sleeping. So you want to make a deek in the Mishnah? No, don't make a deek in the Mishnah. Because the truth of the matter is, the Mishnah was just focused on getting to that point, and that's why we're talking in the context of sleeping. Okay, so the Gemara says, okay, good. The Mishnah wanted to get to that point. Let's think about that point now for a moment. So the Kohen folded their clothing and put it under their head and used it as a pillow. All right, so what does that tell us? Doesn't that indicate that you can get hana from Big Day Kahuna? Gemara's next point. Shamas mina Big Day Kahuna ninulanus mahem. So isn't it clear now that you can get hana from it? So the Gemara says, Amar Papa lo tam tachas rashem ela ema keneged rashem. So the Gemara gives an answer. We saw this answer back in Tamid. No, don't read the Mishnah literally. Tachas, I understand as a preposition, means under, but understand tachas here more like keneged. Near their head, but not under their head. So the Gemara says, fine. So, but what can we at least gain from all this? That if you want to take your tefillin, now tefillin, Big Day Kahuna, yeah, it's a fine analogy. Big Day Kahuna is a Dvar Mitzvah, your tefillin is a Dvar Mitzvah. Yes, you can make an argument, your tefillin even has more Kedusha, Shem Hashem, Parshios written inside, but still, in other words, they both are Divrei Mitzvah, and just like by the Big Day Kahuna, they're putting it alongside, next to the person while he's sleeping, even though the person may be passing gas, and even though that could have been considered an affront to the Big Day Kahuna, it's fine. Similarly, the Gemara says, with tefillin also, you want to sleep alongside, again, not having the tefillin under your head, but next to your head, the Gemara says, that's fine. So hachinami mustabe dekeneged rashem, and the Gemara says, and look, even though it's not the simple reading in the Mishnah Tamid, we're going to go with it. It's keneged rashem. It's not tachas rashem. How do I know that? The Gemara says because look, there's another issue, which is that the belt is made out of kalayim, and if the belt in fact is made out of kalayim, so then what essentially you're doing is you're using kalayim as a pillow. And even if you would like to argue that you're allowed to get benefit from it, right? Which the Gemara doesn't even like to argue. But even if you're going to argue that, so the Gemara says, but you are getting benefit from klayim. Now, is the belt of a Kohen Hedger made of klayim, yes or no? You know, usually what the correct answer to such a question is, it's subject to a machlokus. And we saw this machlokus earlier in the Masechta. Now, if the belt of the Kohen Gadol is the same as the belt of the Kohen Hedyot, so then you're fine because we know the belt of the Kohen Gadol was made strictly of linen. And that means that the belt of the Kohen Hedyot is made strictly of linen. That's fine. But if the belt of the Kohen Gadol is not the same as the belt of the Kohen Hedyot, and remember we had this discussion earlier in the Masechta, right, Daf Yud Beis, I cheated, I looked on the side. We had this discussion earlier because basically we wanted to know, can we recycle the Begadim of the Kohen Gadol? So that was, right, and we just dealt with this question recently as well. Can the Kohen Gadol's clothing be recycled and used by Kohen Hedyot? So the first question you got to ask is it the same material? Is it made of the same composite? So fine. So once you clear that hurdle, then you can get on to the other hurdle, which is, do the begadim need geniza? Does it not need geniza? We saw that, we just dealt with that question just the other day. But anyway, but you see, but if you take the position that the belt of the Kohen Hedyot is made up of kalayim, so how are you putting the belt under your head? You're using kalayim as a pillow. And maybe you'll make a distinction between using kalayim as clothing, using kalayim as a cover, versus hatsa'a, putting kalayim underneath. In other words, when the Torah describes the Isser of kalayim, how does the Torah describe it? Lo silbash. You're not allowed to wear. And maybe we'll draw a distinction between wearing versus laying it underneath Vatanya. Lo yala alecha ava ata mutala hatzio tachtecha. But meanwhile, we know the Mishnah tells us that you're not allowed to put klayim on top of you, meaning to warm you, but latzio tachtecha, but to place it under you, would technically be okay, min haTorah. But the Chachamim said, no, you cannot do that. Why? Because what may end up happening is you may just take one of the strands of kalayim which you are laying on top of. It's not providing you warmth, but what happens is you may take one of the fringes and wrap your finger around it or any part of your body around it and warm yourself up. So as an iser derabanan, one is not allowed to even lay on top of kalayim. And maybe what you'll do is as follows. Maybe I'll put another blanket on top of it. So in other words, I'll lay the climb on right down. I'll lay something on top of it. I'll lay down on top of it. It's not usher min haTorah to lie on top of climb. It's only usher min derabanan. And I know why the Chachamim asked it. They asked it because I may roll some of the fringes along around my body. So, but if I lay another bed sheet on top of it, which is not climb, so then shouldn't there be no problem whatsoever? No, the Issa Durabanan extends. Even if I have 10 mattresses, one on top of another, 10 spreads, one on top of the other, and underneath all of it's Kalayim, I don't have access to the Kalayim. 10 covers are on top of it. It doesn't matter. I cannot sleep on top of it. Right? So in other words, lo plug Rabbanan. Right? The Chachamim made Gzeira Durabanan. You can't lie down on kalayim, even if it's covered. Even if it's covered with 10 more covers, it doesn't matter. You can't lie down on kalayim. So, elalav shemamina keneged roshem shemamina. So the Gemara says, okay, back to our point. So now the Mishnah Talmud says that the Kohanim were lying down on their clothing. So I know, take the word tachas, don't understand it literally. It's next to, it's keneged. Because issue number one, I can't get hanah from Big Dikuna when I'm not doing the avoda. Okay, yes or no, debatable. But let's say yes. I can't. Issue number two is that according to one mandam, or the belt of the Kohen Hedjot is kalayim, and I'm not allowed to use kalayim. I can't wear kalayim. I can't put it on top of me, minatorah, and I can't lay down on it, midrabanan. And even if there's any type of separation between you and the kalayim, it's still aser midrabanan. Okay. I know someone wants to ask me about Kohanim, Beis HaMikdash, Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. All right. Reasonable question. I don't know. Okay. Ravashi Amar La'olam Tachas Roshem. So Ravashi says, well, no, let's take a contrarian viewpoint. Okay? Let's go back to the Mishnah Talmud. The Mishnah Talmud says that they lie down on their clothing. So again, so the Gemara now for the last half of an Amud has been arguing tachas roshem doesn't mean tachas, it means keneged. And there are two, as we just went over, two strong arguments why that should be. Rav Ashi says, no, let's take a contrarian viewpoint. Let's say it's tachas roshem. The Mishnah Talmud is to be taken literally. V'haka mitane mekalayim. So the Gemara says, okay, now let's not even get onto the issue of whether you can get benefit from Big Dekuna or not. It's kalayim. The belt is kalayim. How are you doing that? So Big Dekuna Kashin Hain. So the Gemara says that, well, the Big Dekuna are very hard. It's a very hard material. The only Isser of Kalayim is when it's soft, but when it's hard, it's fine. And take a look at Rashi. So Rashi writes Kashim Haim. So Rashi says, Ve'ena mitchamamim. It doesn't warm you up. Ve'ein b'hem mishum kalayim. And there's no Isser of Kalayim. A simple reading of Rashi sounds like what? When Rashi says that if it's a hard clothing, if it's a stiff clothing, so then there's no Isser of Kalayim. Now we're talking in the context of lying down on top of, or sitting on top of. Let me ask you the following question. What about if the stiff material is actually converted into clothing? Meaning, is Rashi here describing just lying down on top of a stiff material? Or does Rashi also mean that even if I actually make it into clothing, if it's a stiff material and doesn't provide you warmth, it would then be okay as well? Well, take a look at the next Gemara. We move on in the Gemara. Ki hadamar avuna breder av Yeshua hai namta gamda denarash sharya. So the Gemara says a material made in Narash is permissible. Now, why? So again, now look at Rashi. Gamda, Rashi writes kasha, it's very hard, it's a very stiff material. It's permitted. Now look at the next Rashi, Shari. Ein bo mishum kalayim, dehala dumya de levisha, de isbe hanas chimum hu de itzer. This Rashi is very clear. this Rashi basically says, if it's a stiff material and it's not providing you warmth, there's no Issur of Kalayim. It sounds like from Rashi, this is, and Tosus picks up on this point, it sounds like from Rashi that if you're operating with a stiff material that's not providing you warmth, so then it would be mutter, not just to lie down on, as the Gemara was describing earlier regarding the belt of the coin, but even in terms of even wearing the material. If it's a stiff material not providing you warmth, so then it would be okay even to wear it as well. Ben, I'm gonna for your sake, just turn the light on so you get to see, and all the other people at the back there as well. Thank you. Okay, good. Tashma. All right. So we're still in the middle of discussing an issue which the Gemara really has not come to a conclusion. Question: can I get hana from the big day kahuna when the kohen's not doing the avoda? Yes or no? So this whole discussion started from our mission because the Kohen Gadol is reading from the Sefer Torah, which is not an avoda, and he's still wearing his big day kahuna. So it sounds like yes. The Gemara deflected. The Gemara said nah, because we'll say kriya is part of the avoda. It's not avoda, but what the Gemara's language was sarach avoda. So the Gemara says Tashma. Let's see if we can conclude from the following: Big Dikuna Yotze Behem LeMedina Aser Over Mikdash Bein B'Shas Avoda Bein Shlo B'Shas Avoda Motor Mimesha Big Dikuna Nitna Lanos Behen. Okay, so you have a Brisa, and the Brisa says it pretty clearly. The Brisa says a Big Dikuna, you can't go out to Medina, you can't go out outside the base of Mikdash, but in the base of Mikdash, you're doing the avoda, you're not doing the avoda, it's fine because you're allowed to get benefit from the big day kahuna. Shma mina.
The incidence of the lady who had two Kohen Gadol, three Kohen Gadol sons, they went out.
What?
They were spit. Somebody spit on them on the first.
But I don't know if he was wearing his begadim at the time, or he just, in other words, he just got spat on. I don't know. I don't know if there was, if the Gemara mentioned over there, the begadim were worn. Okay, so this takes us now to, fine. So the Brisa says very clearly that you're allowed to wear your big day kahuna, even while not doing the avoda. Again, the svara could be, lo ninatar l'malach ha'asharis, because we're just imperfect human beings, and it can't possibly be that the Torah would expect us to wear the begadim only while doing the avoda. Fine, maybe that's a svara. But meanwhile, the only restriction is you just can't leave the base of Mikdash. Meaning, if you're wearing your big day kahuna, you have to wear it in the confines, in the geographic area of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, Mikdash over here can mean Beis HaMikdash, it can mean Yerushalayim. It's a lengthier discussion, but fine. But in other words, but once you go into the Medina, outside the area of the Beis HaMikdash, so you can't wear your Big Day Kahuna anymore. Fine, that's the only restriction. And this brings us to, right, the two episodes that we're going to go over today. I'd say Agadita, but one is certainly Agadita, and this is more historical. But there were two episodes that are mentioned today, and one on Amud Alf, and the other one is Amud Beis. And so here we introduce ourselves now to the first big story of the day. The history, actually, not story. So the Gemara says, what do you mean you're not allowed to wear your big dekuna outside the base of Mikdash? Consider the following. Over Medina Lava Atanya, the Gemara says, Be'esra Mechamisha B'Teves, Yom Har Grizim. Okay, we're not that far away from the 25th day of Teves. Okay, Tu B'Shvat, just, you know. Short of a month later, but anyway, 25th day of Teves. Now, what are we doing now? In other words, what are we reading from right now? So we're reading from Megillas Tanis. Megillas Tanis goes over dates in the year, over the calendaric year, where miracles occurred to the Jews. Also, Lahaspeid, you're not allowed to eulogize on these days. You're not allowed to fast on these days. Meaning, these days are joyous days. So one of these days mentioned calendarically is the 25th day of Teves. And this happens in the beginning of Bayit Sheni, beginning of the Second Temple. What makes me say the beginning? Because it involves Shimon HaTzadik. And as we learned earlier, Shimon HaTzadik was the first 40 years of the Second Beis HaMikdash. So, the Brisa describes, Shemamina Medina Lava Atanya. We learned in the following Brisa, Besra Mechamisha Batevitz Yom Har Grizim Hu. It is a day of Har Grizim. We'll explain. You're not allowed to eulogize on such a day because, again, it's a joyous day. Yom Shabikshu Kutim is based on Elokeinu Malach Zayin Just Mukta. The Kutim, Shomronim, Samaritans, so they went over to Alexander Just Mukta. We'll call him Alexander the Great. And they said, Lahacharivo. So they basically whispered in Alexander's ear, destroy the base of Mikdash. Now, at this point in time, historically, the base of Mikdash has been up for short amount of time. Meaning we're talking about really the transition from the Persians to the Greeks. The Greeks obviously started with Alexander the Great. So it's the Persians who were the ones who allowed us to build the Beis HaMikdash. So we're somewhere within the beginning of the first Bais Sheni, the first years of the Bais Sheni. So the Shomronim, who were the ones, by the way, who actually stopped the building of the Bais Sheni. So they, after it's built, so they went over to Alexander, who's in the middle, in the process of conquering the whole world, and he said to him, "Look, while you're conquering the whole world, and while you're en route to Israel, so right, Beis HaMikdash, you want to destroy, you want to take care of it." Venoslahem. Bovo dir Shimon HaTzadik Masa. So they reported to Shimon HaTzadik. So what did he do? Lavash big de kahuna. So he put on the big dekuna, v'nisatav big dekuna, and he wrapped himself in the big dekuna. Makiri Yisrael imo, and he took dignitaries with him. Vavuka shaor biyadeim, and they had torches in their hands. V'chol alayla alo holchem itzadze, v'alal holchem itzadze. So I don't know the geography, but basically there were two marches that were headed towards one another. The march of Shimon HaTzadik headed towards Alexander the Great, and the march of Alexander the Great headed towards Yerushalayim. And they met somewhere in the middle. And the march took place over the course of the entirety of the night until dawn. And once it got to dawn, Amar lahem mi alalu. So now Alexander is on march to Yerushalayim, and he's now confronting Shimon HaTzadik with his entourage, carrying torches. This is at the point of dawn, and Shimon HaTzadik says to the Kutim who were right next to him. I'm sorry, Alexander the Great had the Kutim right next to him, and they were the ones whispering in his ear, "Let's march on Yerushalayim, let's destroy Yerushalayim." So Alexander turns to the Kutim and he says, "Okay, who are these people?" So Amr lo Yehudim, Shemar Debach. Well, those are the rebelling Jews. What are you talking about? Kemeshigia Antipatras Zarchachama Upaga Zebezeh. Now they were still at a distance from one another, and as the morning advanced, and they got to Antipatras. Again, don't ask me, I just simply don't know. So, Pagu Zebezeh. So, they actually met with one another. And Alexander the Great, and the Kutim did not see this one coming, Alexander the Great saw Shimon HaTzadik, jumped off his chariot, bows in front of Shimon HaTzadik. Amrulo Melech Gadol Kamoscha Yishtachav Al Yehudi Zeh. So, the Kutim said, "What are you doing? You're a king. What are you doing bowing in front of the Jews?" So he says, "What are you talking about? Every time I go to war, I see an image of that," pointing to Shimon HaTzadik, "right before I go to war." So he says to them, "Why are you coming?" So Shimon HaTzadik says, "You know what we do in this Beis HaMikdash? We pray for your welfare and your kingdom, that it does not be destroyed." So yitavecha of dekocham lachirivo, what they tell you to do? They told you to destroy that Beis HaMikdash. Amar lahem mi alalu, amar lo kutim. Well, who's telling you to destroy it? So he says, kutim alalu shom lefanecha. Amar lahem harehem misurim biyadeichem. So Alexander the Great says to the Jews, "Okay, we'll give them over." And Alexander the Great gives over the Kutim to Shimon HaTzadik and his entourage. And miyad nakvum bikveihem. And the Gemara describes pretty graphically that they pierce the back of their heel. They basically drag the Kutim v'talim biznabne suseihem by the tail of the horses. V'yumagar mosam ala kutim v'ala barkanim. And they dragged them over thorns and thistles. They tortured them. Achi gila har grizim, until they got to the point of har grizim. Har grizim was where the Kutim had their, quote unquote, their Beis HaMikdash. That's where they had their service. Kemeshi gila har grizim, and once they got to the har grizim, charshuhu vizaruhu, karshinim kederach shebikshu lasos beis elokeinu. And just like what the Kutim wanted to do to the Beis HaMikdash, so Shimon HaTzadik and his entire entourage went to har grizim, plowed over Har Grizim, planted, basically raised it. Va'osa Yamasu Yomtov. And then on that day, which was the 25th day of Teves, and you know, the year exactly I don't know, but sometime in the beginning of the second base of Mikdash, so they made that day, the 25th of Teves, into a Yomtov. Okay. And we tell over that episode why? So Shimon HaTzadik was wearing his big day kahuna. and he was clearly leaving the complex of the Beis HaMikdash. So how can he do that? All the days, it's a reasonable question. All the days in Megillas Tanis is no longer held, meaning we know the days, but we just don't we don't celebrate them anymore after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, after the destruction of the temple. When we get to Tanis, some point in the middle of the Masechta, I don't remember where, but when we get to Tanis, we'll see Batla Megillas Tanis, meaning because we no longer have a Beis HaMikdash, so therefore we our level of joy has always been reduced. Well, Purim, right. So Purim is also part of Megillas Tanis. Another good question. So Purim is also part of Megillas Tanis, but it's got a Navi. It's got it was instituted. It's whatever. In fact, Purim at one point in time was almost made into an actual Yontif, meaning it clearly was elevated. Okay, so two answers to the question. The Gemara says over the answers very briefly. So one answer is, it wasn't an actual big day kuhuna. Although again, that's not the simple read of the Braisa, Megillas Tanis. But one answer could be that it was like big day kuhuna. It was fitting to be big day kuhuna. Or the other answer of the Gemara is, okay, sometimes we just got to do, right? The Gemara quotes this pasuk every now and then. That Torah needs to be abrogated. Sometimes when Torah is being compromised, so Torah needs to be abrogated. Now that's basically executive decisions. Okay, obviously you need executives to make executive decisions, but that's basically answer number two of the Gemara. It's an executive decision. Shmamina Chokin Kavod. Sorry, let me read that. Let me read the heading. Chazan Akneses No Tell Sefer Torah. Okay, we're now back in the mission. We're talking about taking the Sefer Torah out, and it got passed from the Chazan Knesset to the Rosh Knesset to the Skan to the Kohen Gadol.
Where was it kept?
So I don't know. I mentioned that earlier, but I have no problem repeating it. I don't know. I don't know. There was a Sefer Torah there, but I cannot imagine that this is the Sefer Torah that they used. But I don't know. Chazan Knesset no till Sefer Torah Shmamina Chokin Kavod Tamid b'Makom Harav. So the Gemara says, so what do you see? You see that you're allowed to give respect to the Talmud, even though the Rav is right there. I mean, the Kohen Gadol is right there. And what are you doing? So now you're being Mechabed, the Rosh HaKnesses, the Chazan HaKnesses, the Skan. Everyone's getting a kibbutz, and the Kohen Gadol is right there. What are you doing? So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Kula Mishum Kvoda to Kohen Gadol Hu. So the Gemara says, Abaye says, no. Meaning, all this is really just a prelude to the Kohen Gadol. Meaning, look who's under him, and look who's under him, and look under him, and look at the chain of command. And finally, we get to the Kohen Gadol. You're like, oh, look at that Kohen Gadol. Look at all the people that are under him. So it's all a form of kibud Kohen Gadol. And the Gemara says, so it's not. Don't deduce from here that you can give cover to the Talmud when the Rav is right there. No, in this particular scenario, it's all a way of giving cover to the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol Omeid. Now he stands up. What does that mean? The diak over here is really simple. Michal Shiyoshev. So it means he was sitting up until that point in time. V'ha'ein yeshiva be'azara el lamache beis David belvad. You can't sit in the azara. And the assumption of the Gemara is, of course, is that the Kohen Gadol right now is in the azara, which is a fair assumption. That's where he's been all day. And as we discussed earlier, I did not assume that he left the azara, meaning forget the beis. He didn't leave the azara. So how could he be sinning? I'm sorry, Lifnei Hashem. David was allowed to sit in the Azara, Lifnei Hashem, but nobody else. So how could he be sinning? So the Gemara says, okay, so what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to change our perspective. He was not in the Azara. The shul where he's doing Kriyas HaTorah was in Ezras Nashim. If you take a look at the, once again, at the layout. So the Ezras Nashim is that entire area that is to the east of the Azara. Now, it had a wall around it, Ezras Nashim, and in fact it had balconies. So that's the Sukkah discussion. We'll get to the fifth paragraph of Sukkah, we'll discuss it then. But and it was called Ezras Nashim, but the truth of the matter is that it did not have Kedusha of the Azara. It had Kedusha of Har HaBayis. It basically had the same status of Har HaBayis. The shul was in the Har HaBayis area, basically. And there you're allowed to sit.
Now, the side question, where was the king during the Yom Kippur? all the attention of young people, was he attending or not?
I don't know. I mean, I could guess, but I don't know. So the Gemara says, "Hachinami be'etzos noshim ve'heichayit madar Rav Chista ha." So the Gemara says, and truth of the matter is that this statement, this answer of Chista also responded to another issue. Meisvei the Gemara quotes a brisa d'tanya, "Heichen karin bo be'azara." So where do they read it? They read it in the azara. Now the brisa really does not give us any clarity in terms of what we're talking about. Heichen karin bo. Where does he read it? So it could be talking about the Kohen Gadol regarding Yom Kippur. Okay, maybe it's talking about the king at Hakel. Okay, unclear. But anyway, so he reads in the Azar, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, Omer b'Har Abayis, and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says he reads in Har Abayis, and Omer v'Yikra bo lifnei harechov, asher lifnei shar hamayim, v'Amar Rav Chista be'ezos nashim. And Rav Chista says specifically in Ezos Nashim, meaning it wasn't just simply the Har Abayis area, but it was specifically in the Ezos Nashim.
But is it Ezos Nashim part of Har Abayis
anyway? Yeah. Correct. Correct. Just to be more specific. Okay. Fine. The Amr of Chista, I'm sorry, the Amr of Chista, Bezun Sashem. Vivarch Ezra, Es Hashem Halokim Hagadol. Okay. We are going to now, for the rest of today's daf, don't think we'll finish it, but we'll get to the, but for the rest of today's daf, we're now going to focus our attention to another major episode. So it starts in Sefer Nehemiah, where Ezra is giving a bracha. But the interesting thing the Gemara points to is Vayivarch Ezra Hashem Elokim Hagadol. So my Gadol. So what exactly is meant over here when it says Gadol? Amar Rav Yosef Amar Rav Shegilu B'Shem Hamafarish. So he used the Shem Hamafarish. Rav Gidol Amar Baruch Hashem Elokim Yisrael Min Olam V'Ad Olam. Amar Le Abay Le Rav Dima V'Dilma Shegilu B'Shem Hamafarish. So he says, well, maybe he aggrandized HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name using the Shem HaMafarish. Amalei, Ein Omrim Shem HaMafarish B'Gvulin. So what do you mean? No, you don't do that. You don't say Shem HaMafarish outside the Beis HaMikdash. V'lo v'haksi v'yamod Ezra Sofer al Migdal Eitz Asher Asu L'Dvar v'amar of Gidol Shegilo B'Shem HaMafarish. So the Gemara says, well, didn't we see Ezra do so? So Harasha Haisa, and once again, the Gemara gives a similar answer that it gave earlier, which is, again, executive decision. It was, for that particular time, it was necessary that he use the Shem HaGadol, but the Shem HaMafarash, but Enachinami, the Gemara points out that, you're right, under normal circumstances, you're not allowed to use Shem HaMafarash outside the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. Gvulin just simply means outside the Beis HaMikdash, anywhere outside the Beis HaMikdash area. Okay. All right, and here we go. And now, as long as we are in Sefer Ezra Nehemiah. By the way, Ezra Nehemiah we have in his two separate Sfarim. The Rashi always quotes it as just Sefer Ezra. But okay, anyway. So now, as long as we're here quoting from Ezra and Nehemiah, so now the Gemara is going to be quoting from the ninth parak of Nehemiah, where we're going to understand the Psukim on a deeper level. They cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a great voice. So my Amor, so what was being said? Amor of Vitem Rav Yochanan, bye bye. So they said, whoa, whoa. Right? Right? Just it's an expression. Hainu, I de Achrev la Mekdesha, the Kala lehechala, the Kalina lekulu tzadiki, the Iglina liyisrael ma'aron, the Adain Merakeid binan. So what they were describing, again, this is now the rededication of the second Beis HaMikdash, and basically the complaint amongst the Jews at the time was, this is doomed. This is going to be a failed experiment, because we've been here, we've done that. Meaning we've had a Beis HaMikdash, we've operated a Beis HaMikdash, and what's killing us? So the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara has been killing us. And specifically, and you'll see over the course of the next couple minutes, we're speaking about the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. Although we'll get to in just a moment, later on, the Yetzer Hara for Arayas. But the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah is just killing us. It's what caused the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, right? They described the first Beis HaMikdash was burned, and we were all killed. And the Tzaddikim were sent into exile, and the Jews were sent into exile. And it's still dancing amongst us, this Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. So how do you think that we're going to build now the second Beis HaMikdash And meanwhile, we have this unbelievably strong Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. And what are we going to do? So, Klum Yavin Alan, Ela Klum Be Agra. Now, why is there a Yetzer Hara? Right? Very fundamental. There's a Yetzer Hara so that we could beat the Yetzer Hara, we could defeat the Yetzer Hara, and we'll get rewarded for doing so. Okay, good. But we're not. It's not working. Right? Lo Ihu Be'inan, Velo Agre Be'inan. We don't want it, we don't want the reward. Meaning, it's just too much. So, Nafalu Pitka Meirakia Da Havikasav Ba Emes. Out comes a note from Shamayim, and the note only has one word on it, and that is the word Emes. That's the signature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Emes. Basically, that means that they petition HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want to do away with the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically said, okay, let's go forward. Ozvu b'tanisa tasan yom, they were in fast for 30 days, v'tasa leilasa and 30 nights. Masru ne'alayu. So it was given over to them. Nafak asa kigurya denura mi beis kodesh hakadashim. And it looked like a flaming cub coming out of the kodesh hakadashim. Yes, it's unbelievably interesting how in the imagery, the Yetzer Hara, aside from being a gur aryeh, right, a lion cub, but also it's coming out of Kodesh HaKadoshim. Strange place for it to come out of, but okay, obviously there's tremendous depth to this Gemara. Amalehu Navali Yisrael, Hainu Yisrael, Davos Kochav, Mishenemar, Vayomer Zos, Harisha'ah. So this is it. This is Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. They actually had it in their hands. Bahadid Tatafsu, Leishtamesh, Benisa, Mimazia. So while they grabbed it, so out plucked a hair from the cub, v'ramakala v'azokale arba me'al parse, and the voice broadcasted, and it went 400 parsa. Amru heche na v'demachas v'shal merach me'alam in Shemaya. And now, as the Yetzer Hara was crying for help, basically, so they were worried, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu may have compassion for the Yetzer Hara. Amru lehu navi shajua b'duda d'avra, so put it in a lead pot, v'chafiu lepome ba'avra, and seal it with lead. Ba'avra, da'avra mashiv shayv kala. It absorbs the sound, and so basically we can quiet it down. Shenemar v'yom azos rashavi v'yishlech osach el toch ha'efa. V'yishlech esavin ofer sapia. Okay, so they sealed it in a lead pot. Amru hol ve'eth ratzon hu. Okay, period. So they did away with the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. Which then helps us understand the simple question, which you can ask anybody, right? Avodah Zarah. Anyone tempted? anyone feel like wake up in the morning and feel the urge for Avodah Zarah? Okay. So maybe I'm different. Maybe I'm an anomaly, but no, I don't. So and now we understand, meaning that there was a tremendous Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. The Gemara is going to basically say it was as strong as the Yetzer Hara for Arayas. But they just couldn't. They realized that they couldn't withstand it. Okay, so that is what it happens to the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. By the way, for every action there's a reaction, right? You understand? Meaning that you're doing away with the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah, so that means that's the koach of doing bad. So the complementary koach also is lost. Meaning you also notice in the beginning of the Second Temple there was no nevuah. And it's fair to suggest that they went hand in hand. You lose this much of Yetzer Hara, you're going to lose that much of the ability to connect. Amar holveis ratzon hu nibai rachmei Yetzer de avera. Okay, we obviously have a Kadosh Baruch Hu's attention, so let's move on. Let's see if we can now do away the Yetzer Hara for avera. Avera over here means arayas. So by rachmei v'imsi biadayu. So it was handed over. It's interesting, the imagery, meaning for the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah, there was imagery. Here, there is no imagery. Okay. Amalu chazudi kalila lahu kaya alma. But they understood, however, that the repercussions for doing away with the Yetzer Hara for Arias would be terrible. The world would be destroyed. Nobody would be reproducing. So the Gemara says, chavshua talsi alma. So they kind of tested it. Can we do this? Can we do away with the Yetzer Hara for Avera, for Arias? So they imprisoned it for 3 days. And they looked for an egg, a fresh egg that was laid and no fresh eggs that were laid. Now, okay, I understand. Biologically, it produces a bit of a problem because that fertilized egg, that egg was fertilized not 3 days ago, longer than 3 days ago. Okay, fine, whatever. And the point of the Gemara is that we meaning all of biology, would not reproduce if we don't have Yetzirah for Arayas. So they understood that by taking it out, the world would be destroyed. So the Gemara says, okay, can we half it? Can we half the Yetzirah for Arayas? So Paga Barikia Lo Yave. So the Gemara says, no. Kadosh Baruch Hu does not work that way. Okay, the way the system works is it's all or nothing. So kachlinu la'ene. Now, contrary to what I just said, kachlinu la'ene. So they took they blinded its eye, vishavkuhu, and they let it go. V'hanu la'migra be'le'inish bekar v'sei. And so, to just a degree, it reduced the Yetzirah for Arayus. The Gemara notes that a person does not have a taiva for any close family member, and so why not? Because to that degree, they reduced the temptation of the Yetzirah for Arayus. And again, all this because we quoted the Pesukim from Ezra Nehemiah, and we quoted the Pesukim from Ezra Nehemiah because, again, it came back to the issue of Harashah, making executive decisions. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from this point going forward. Mm-hmm.